during the couple of sessions that I've attended, I've analysed my own relationship with my mum quite a lot, and it's helped me to talk about it openly to my sister and my close friends. I feel quite refreshed to know that I approach situations and conversations with my mum very differently now, for the better. And I've given up on the idea of trying to change her. Instead, I accept her for the person she is, a lovable and sometimes very infuriating character, but after all, you've only got one mum.
Can I do a change places?
Yes.
Change places if you lost your virginity before you were 16.
Go girl!
You sorry, wow. Just so prudish.
But change places if you lost your virginity after 16.
I had to wait till I left home. I couldn't, even when my parents were on holiday abroad. Seriously, I just couldn't do it. I had to say, God, I'm sorry. Because my mother was there. Even though she was in Rhodes or somewhere, yeah. Staring down at me. I was like,
the spectre.
Sorry, mate, you can't. So I had to leave home before I could do it.
Me and my mum had this huge, like, 3-hour conversation just about life and the universe and just put the world to rights. And then afterwards, I was just so sort of grateful for my mum and just realised how alike we are in so many ways, but just how parallel we are in so many other ways, that I literally went upstairs and just worked out the song, because I just realised, like, how interlinked she is with my journey, and I'm really grateful for that.
I think people came to the group for a variety of different reasons, and it was the theme that brought most people. It was the subject, if you like, mothers and daughters. And I initially was really interested in it because, of course, I'm a daughter, but more so, I have a 4-year-old, 4.5-year-old daughter called Emily, who has Down syndrome. And that relationship between mother and daughter, I was really interested to see whether, you know, whether it would be different between us than, say, a regular child who didn't have a disability, and how things would evolve as time went on through primary, secondary, when she became an adult, how much control would she actually have in her life. And that's kind of why I came to the group in the first place. But then actually, as we started sort of working and using the sociodrama methods, it then sort of switched quite a lot, and I felt like I was thinking a lot more about my relationship with my mother and some of the things that had niggled me in the past. And then actually that started to develop even further, and actually it's made me realise that there's plenty of qualities that my mum has given me that I'm now using with my own daughter.
It was a while ago now, but mostly I remember people's horror stories and amusing stories from their sort of trials and tribulations with their period, you know, where they came on and how their mother handled it and whether they had pre-warned them that it was going to happen or not. So that was quite interesting and quite nice to hear everyone's stories and know that you're not the only one who feels that way or has experienced something.
16 now, I'm so very proud, making big decisions on her own. Then she falls in deep and is swept off her feet. The mother knows that she'll come crying.
Actually talking about what we were grateful for in our mothers.
Yeah.
And so it was nice because it ended on a point of gratitude, whereas I think we had not dragged them through the mud. But we had talked about things like, you know, roles like the bed remaker, you know, the mother who had the very high standards and she was the high standard bearer, and escaping daughter and playing it safe and striving to be an equal, sometimes reluctant coper. So those were...
And that was quite interesting. Stuck in the role my family sees me play, that you give them these roles. Yeah.
Yeah, the bed remaker. I'm the bed remaker.
Oh, you're the bed remaker.
And
oh,
it's my mother who makes the messy bed that I have to remake.
How excellent.
I just think it's genetic.
Yeah. But it is. It's all about a role reaction. So I think that's what we were talking about, is actually this idea about from the week before about, you know, where you stood in terms of your mother. And I was I'm interested in that, and that kind of how different you are from your mother, what you've chosen to bring with you and what you've left behind.
But isn't there a point at which you start realising that you're becoming like your mother?
Yeah, and we said that, didn't we? Then we said, you know, we were moaning about our mothers, but actually what we should be doing is taking the good things from them and accepting that and embracing that, yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah.
And accepting the generational differences as well.
Mm-hmm. How hard it was for them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Nearly grown and out on her own, living life the way she chooses to. She might call home on her telephone, but she's moving on to bigger, better things.
I'm Irene, and I've felt that I wanted to bring this in, this circle of embroidery, because it represents what I've been thinking, feeling about my mother more recently. It's where my mother, she used up all her odds and ends of embroidery silks, and she just started in the middle and did this, I think it's called long stitch, sort of different lengths of long stitch going out from the middle in all colours that you might think didn't go, but the overall effect, I just love it. I think it's gorgeous. It's a bit quirky, because my mother used to make things. She'd start to make something for one of my children when they were tiny, and she'd get fed up and she'd say, oh, here, you finish it, you know. And it wouldn't be quite straight, or it wouldn't be quite cut out accurately or something. You'd end up sort of having quite a job. And this is kind of, as you can see, it doesn't quite go flat, which makes me smile, really.
What attracted me to the group was the possibility of exploring the relationship I have with my own mother. But actually what I've come back every week wanting is to the connectedness with other women in the group. And it's almost been incidental what we've talked about. Not incidental, it's been really important, but whatever we'd have talked about was important because of that connectedness with other women. And that female-only space has become very important to me. So in a way, I've kind of let the mother thing go. It's like, oh, I'm fine with that.
I think sometimes a women's group attracted me. You know, I think feel perhaps a bit more comfortable with a women's group. I know it would be different. I think the dynamic would be different if it was men as well as women. I think, I mean, it might be interesting, but I think initially, I think for me, the fact that it was women was, you know, plus.
Yeah, me too. I don't think I'd have been particularly... I would have been interested to hear, having now been what we've gone through, but I wouldn't have come to it if it had been men in the group. Definitely not.
Yeah, I probably wouldn't have opened up as much as I have done, because for fear of being
judged or labelled, or I don't know. More comfortable talking amongst a group of women than I am a group of men.
I've really liked it when mothers have come with their daughters, or daughters have come with their mothers, and seeing them together and thinking, oh, what a fantastic family, you know, what a fantastic pair of people. And yeah, I think all the mothers should get medals, and the daughters.
It's been interesting because my mum's been coming to the group, and recently, over the last few weeks, when she's been here and the next day, we've had some quite difficult conversations about things. Like, she came back one time, and then, I don't know what you talked about here, but we were just having an everyday chat about stuff and got a little bit heavy, and I was saying, one thing that really bothers me, you never taught me how to shave my legs. And I was there like, it really upset me that you never taught me that. And we ended up having this kind of quite emotional conversation about the fact that I was like, something I felt was quite important that you never taught me, and it's just been really nice to see her want to engage more in those conversations, and for me to be able to be like, cool, as well with that.
Now we're grown up and heart full of love, starting up a family of her own. Though she's still your baby, you have noticed lately that she needs you less and less as time.
Conversation with my son this week about the group, because I said, oh, because I was talking to him the weekend, and I said, oh, I can't ring you on Wednesday. I said, I've got the women's group. He says, what women's group? What women's group are you going to? What you? I said, we were Skyping, and he says, well, what do you do? You know, is it like, you know, what, you're making jam or something? So I said, no, I said, we kind of, you know, we play games and we discuss issues, and he says, what's it for? You know, he just couldn't get his head around it. And I said, well, I suppose it's kind of raising awareness and discussing issues, and really it's quite enjoyable. We have a lot of laughs, and he's just kind of, it's weird, you know. what's a women's group? What do a women's group do? And I was thinking about it myself afterwards, and I was thinking, well, you know, it is difficult to define in a way, but actually it's really enjoyable, and it's really I feel really good afterwards, and feel like it's very deep at times as well. The things that we've discussed really touch sort of things down deep, you know, and emotionally and everything. So it's quite hard to explain to somebody what you're doing.
It's not very often in a busy lifestyle that you get 2 hours to yourself to talk to friends or complete strangers about an issue at length. You just don't get a chance to do that normally. Mm-hmm. That's quite nice.
That socio-drama element is completely new for me, and I've really enjoyed that where it's taken us, because we didn't know. And I kind of assumed that you did have a plan at the beginning, and then when I realised you didn't, I was like, God, that's amazing to just come with no plan, because I'm a facilitator, and I have a sheet with 9 o'clock, welcome introductions, 10 past 9, group agreement, 9:30, you're nodding, you'd be the same with your people's groups. Yeah, I know exactly. I'm flexible, but I could not turn up and do what you do and just kind of trust that we're going to do these amazing things, and we always do amazing things. I've loved that. Mm. And it stimulated the discussion. Thank you.
I agree.
I really like the little swapping circle that we did just now, just as a way of finding out about other people and how I fit, somehow I fit in or don't fit in. That's what I really like about just finding, it's like almost information gathering about, oh, who am I in the world? I'm still kind of trying to find out who I am in the world.
The moving, when we've gone and we've moved from, you know, that game that we just played, or the continuum, or when we've gone and we've stood behind chairs and the people have taken roles, and you know, are there any other roles that need to be heard, and then another aspect of the same role, that all that moving, it really helps me. And there's something about it's not shame, but you know how the way to get rid of shame is just to say whatever it is to as many people as possible, and it just goes. So there was something about that. It wasn't shame, but there was this discomfort I had about talking about the non-medical, anatomical words for the body parts, you know. Mm-hmm. That was really freeing to be able to say those words.